was it BBS still? Whatever it was. And it's just a joy to be here. And we are so thankful for you as a church fellowship and your faithfulness all these years. I mentioned you are one of our gold star churches. That means you have supported us since the very beginning. Very beginning. Well, before I preach, I want to show you a short video that we put together before we came home. One of the big questions is, well, you're emeritus. What does that mean? So we want to make sure you understand very clearly what that means this morning. With Baptist Missions. We did not retire. We are not retiring. We have been retreaded, and we're going to head on into the future as God gives us strength, as He provides, to be a part of the ministry here in Italy. As I thought of the word emeritus, I came up with a little acrostic. Every moment, energy, and resource invested toward the unsaved's salvation. And we trust God will use us in that capacity as emeritus missionaries. We praise God for the past. Actually, when you talk about emeritus, you're looking back a long time. We've had 50 years of preaching the word, 50 years of wonderful marriage, blessed by God, 50 years that we've been a part of Baptist Mid-Missions, and God has given us 4 children, all happily married, and living for God, with 16 grandchildren. God opened to us the opportunity back in 1979 to begin a daily television outreach, which is still on the air every day, an average of twice every day. And we praise God for the thousands, literally thousands, probably 30,000 telecasts that have gone out over these years. God also blessed us in starting Radio Luce, a Christian radio station, which was on the air from 1981 until 2019. And unfortunately, sadly, but we trust God in this, we had to close it in 2019 because for several reasons, one of which was a lack of finances, but God knows about that. God has blessed us to begin a local Baptist church. We started from scratch. We had 2 ladies when we began our Bible studies, and now we have our own building, our own property, 3 deacons, and actually before COVID, we were running about 120 on Sunday. It's quite a bit less than now, not that right now, but God is blessed. And we're trusting God as the church arrives at graduation status to provide a godly Italian non-missionary pastor for the church. We praise God not only for the past, you can't live there, but we praise Him for the present. God is blessing us wonderfully. I am enjoying, and we have enjoyed a half a century of marriage. God has blessed us wonderfully. I'm now pastor emeritus of the church that we founded, and I'm there for counsel, for advice, to fill in every time there's a need. I'm ready, I'm on call, and we praise God for the many opportunities to preach that we've had. I'm the point man for contact with local government because I'm so well known, praise God, because of the TV ministry that we have contact with local government. In fact, the mayor, when I went to meet him, and we give him a gospel calendar every year, but when I went to meet him, he said, "Oh, I know you." I said, "How do you know me?" He said, "Well, I've been watching you on television since I was a little boy." So we praise God for the contacts that he's given us. I'm responsible for the prison and the hospital outreach minister of the church, which unfortunately, because of COVID, has been shut down for several months, over a year and a half now, but we're trusting to be able to get back into that very soon. I wish I had time to tell you all the stories of God's grace in prison over the years. I'm active in visitation and doing discipleship with folks in the church, And that is a tremendous privilege to enter people's homes and share Christ and lead them on in the faith. Just recently, I got to lead a man to the Lord who was dying of cancer, and he died 2 weeks later, but praise God, we were there. Rachel's involved in discipleship with the ladies and is very busy in that respect, aside from all of her hospitality work that she does. And I've been contacted several times by local televisions to do some special programs, religious programs. So we just praise God for those outreaches that we have. And we are, of course, very active in being grandparents to our 16 grandchildren, for which we praise God. And we're looking at the future. We're looking to the future, trusting God for continual financial support. And many churches are continuing to help us out. We're concerned that we would have the money to continue the TV outreach, which is the only daily gospel television program in Italy, to my knowledge. So we praise God for that and trust God for the future. We're trusting for God's direction for a pastor. I mentioned a non-missionary Italian pastor for our local church, which is approaching the graduation status. And we're trusting God to help us as we continue the discipleship with so many people here in the local church. And we're trusting God to bless us with good health. Rachel's very careful about what she puts on my plate, and she watches over me for that, and I really, really appreciate that. And finally, we just live day by day expecting Jesus to come back. He could come back today. And we just want to be found faithful when he returns. We want to thank you for your faithfulness to us in prayer and financial support for all of these years. Some for a half a century have been supporting us. And we just want to praise God for you and thank you for your faithfulness. As we look to the future, we trust that God will continue to bless you in your outreach there for his glory, and us as we partner together to reach Italy for Christ. God bless. Just want to call your attention to a few items we placed back in the foyer. We have a few prayer cards. We have many more, but we don't have them with us, and we're running out, but there are some back there on the table. There's one copy of my book, which I can't give you because we're carrying it from place to place, but if you would be interested in a copy of my book, we've done the third edition, added some extra things about the ministry of my step-great-grandfather as a pioneer missionary in Brazil in the 1890s, as well as a number of new pictures of our grandkids. But if you'd be interested in a copy for a free will gift, I'll be glad to mail one to you as soon as we get back to New York State. I want to thank Al and his wife for their wonderful hospitality. We enjoyed very much. It was just a real treat to be with them, and it was a blessing for us because we have ministry in our church in Italy. In our church in Italy, we have about 17 nations of the world represented every service, and one of those is India. So we have one gal who's been saved out of Hinduism, and she's doing discipleship with Rachel. And I just want to thank you. I look back and just marvel at God's faithfulness. Also, if you do not receive our email updates, we got to do another one, Rachel. You know, we got to get that done. She has to do all the work in the family. If you'd like to receive that, there's the notebook there. You write your name and you write your email address. And I remind you that an email address is almost like scripture. Jesus said, not one jot or tittle will disappear from the law before all is accomplished. And believe me, when we're trying to read your email on Monday and put it in the computer, if we mistake a jot for a tittle, or an I for an L, or something else, you will never get an email from us. So write it very clearly, and that'll be helpful, and you'll get to hear from us. And then the last thing, the Lord willing, it looks like we're getting over this COVID deal. Things are starting to open up, and the Lord willing, in October 4 to 15, I will be having my 7th Italian Christian History Tour, which for anyone would be fantastic, but particularly for somebody who has invested in our ministry all these years, one of the high points of the tour is a weekend at our church and meeting the believers there. And if you would be interested, there are some folders, it's a sheet of paper, but on the table, and you might be interested in get the information about it. It would be a real blessing if the Lord allows you to do it. As I reflected over what I could bring, I had so many burdens on my heart. First of all, just how to say thank you. And we do not take for granted the sacrifice of God's people. And it is incredible that we have been able to partner together all these years. It is just incredible. You notice I have my 50-year pin on with Baptism and Missions. We got this last summer. At the annual conference, we got a 50-year pin and we got COVID. So better than that, you know, it was a way. So I got the 50-year pin, and they also gave us a magnifying glass so you can see the diamond that's on it too. Just kidding about that. But anyways, so one burden is to say thank you. Another burden is to challenge anyone who has never personally accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord to take a stand and step up for Christ. And then the third area is to encourage God's people to pray and go. We have not had a new missionary candidate with Baptism and Missions in Italy outside my family since 1994, and they lasted 1 year. So we are burdened to challenge people to come help us. Come help us. So I trust that we'll accomplish those three things today. I'd like to have you turn your Bibles, first of all, to Romans 12, 1 and 2. I'm not going to preach this passage, but I want to start here because Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that acceptable and perfect will of God. And I want each of us who know the Lord today to ask ourselves a question. Am I accomplishing what God saved me to do? Why did God save me? So I'd miss out on hell? Why did God save me? Well, he saved us to serve him and to spread the gospel around the world. So I want to go back to Joshua chapter 1. I want to look a little bit at Joshua's call and how he answer God's call. And I believe that every believer needs to know what God's will is for their life. It may be to work in a factory, be a testimony, maybe to be a school teacher, maybe to be a nurse, it may be to be a carpenter. Whatever it is, we need to do it with all our heart. I would just remind you, if God calls you to be a carpenter for him, there's just one sad thing. When you go to heaven, you're not going to take any cabinets with you. But if God calls you to serve him as a pastor or a missionary, the fruit of your labor, you're taking to heaven with you.
How good is that? To be able to be in heaven forever with people whose lives you have been able to touch with the word of God. What a blessing what it is to serve God. Well, Joshua 1, I want to read verse 1 to 9. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I'm giving them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have not I commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, which we've read together. The challenge that it is to each of us who know you to give our life to serve you with all our energy. We do pray, Lord, if there's one person here who has never personally acknowledged the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, they've never repented of their sin which separates them from you, that today would be for them the day of salvation. In Christ our Savior's name we pray. Amen. It's interesting, Joshua is one of my favorite characters in the Bible. Of course, his name means that Jehovah is salvation, which incidentally is the same meaning as the Greek name Jesus. And it's just a wonderful story of one of God's choice servants. Something I noticed just this week as I was preparing, three times in the first two verses we read a word which basically means servant. First of all, Moses, my servant, is dead. And this is the word for slave. Moses, my slave, is dead. And then it calls Joshua the minister, which is another word for servant of Moses. And this is the word that in the New Testament, we read the word deacon, which means not the boss of the pastor. It means servant, okay? Joshua the servant. And then Moses, my servant, is dead. And once again, this is another word for servant. And so this whole passage, starting out, talks about service. And my question to each of you, have you discovered what your means of service is for the Lord? I was encouraged last week. I preached in a church, and I happened to use this passage. And after the service, several people contacted the pastor about things they wanted to do, get involved serving the Lord. And that's the purpose of this, that we all would understand we have a job to do for God. Well, first of all, we answer God's call in a time of need. God said to Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. Rise up. Get with it. And if I could just impress upon you the need of Italy, one of the very last mission fields in the world, I would say we have a desperate need in Italy today. Less than one half of 1% are evangelical Christians in the country of Italy. A terrible need. And we need God to reach down and deal with people's hearts about how they can be a part of the ministry in Italy. When we think about Joshua, you have to appreciate this man, Moses' assistant. He didn't spend 40 years thinking how he could replace Moses. You know, so many times in the workforce, people enter in and their whole goal is to replace the guy on top. And many times they do anything they can do to do that. That was not Joshua's idea. He was there to serve. He carried Moses' satchel for 40 years in desert. He didn't have to do that. He didn't even deserve to be in the desert. He was one of the very few, his associate Caleb, who brought back a good report of the land. And yet, he suffered the consequences of the disobedience of the majority. But he was very faithful. And then when the time came, God said to him, Joshua, my servant is dead. Moses, my servant is dead. You stand up. You will lead his people. So, first of all, we answer God's call in a time of need. Secondly, we answer God's call after a time of preparation. You know, it's wonderful to see young Christians, oh, I want to do something for God. That's wonderful. The zeal, the energy. But you know, we have to prepare too. And Joshua, he was kind of like the guy who's a college student for life. In Italy, we have many of them. They just live with their parents and go to college all their life. You know, it's kind of nice. Mom does a wash and everything. You know? 40 years, he was preparing as he served, preparing for his future ministry. And many times, the Lord gives us opportunity to serve doing menial tasks. We say, well, that's never going to be worth anything. Well, you don't know. You don't know every little thing you might learn about life, how the Lord can use that in the future in your life. Opportunity. I remember talking to somebody about needing help with the children's ministry. Oh, I don't do children. I can't do that. Well, as they tasted how wonderful it was to share the message of the gospel with the children, they understood what a privilege it is. And there may be something in this local church, some area where they really need help, and you say, well, I don't do that. Well, you don't know. You don't know. We have a phrase in Italy, it says, eating, you gain appetite. And as we get involved, we get a burden, we get excited about doing something for God. Maybe we hadn't even thought seriously about doing it before. Then we answer God's call, believing in his promises. We believe God is going to do something. I have to confess, when we went to Italy, January 2nd, 1973, cold, rainy, oh, and we got to Perugia, and it was foggy, and we were staying in a cold hotel room, and oh my goodness, we were looking at that city and thinking, how in the world? But you know, it wasn't our problem to say, how will something happen? Our only responsibility was to trust God And many times people say, how do you last so long? Well, the only thing the Lord kept on my heart was this phrase, occupy till I come. It was not our responsibility to bring people to faith or to build a huge church. It was our responsibility to give the gospel out continually and trust God to work in hearts. Well, the Lord said to Joshua, get up, cross over the Jordan. No little thing. It was flood time. It was flood time. Now, the Jordan River, if it's not flood time, is not a huge river, but it is a fast river. We tubed down it one time when we were in Israel. And as I'm on my tube, I come around the corner, and there was a branch right there, knocked me off the tube. I found myself in a whirlpool, not like this, underwater. And my wife's looking back, where'd he go? Where'd he go? But since I played trumpet, I had a lot of lungs to keep air, but I finally got out, praise the Lord. But the Jordan River is a fast river. And you can imagine when it's flood time, what it was looking. And the Lord said, you're going to cross that river. Wow, really? Yeah. Answer God's call, believing his promise. If the Lord says do it, he'll help you do it. He'll do it for you. But you need to be there. It's interesting. The phrase says, I want you to cross this Jordan. He wouldn't say, go down and try to find a place where there's a little bit less water. He said, you're going to cross this one right here. Right here. And so many times we face difficulties in our life and we say, Lord, really, I can't do it. And he'll say, I'm with you. You're going to cross this Jordan right now. So Joshua then answered God's call with confidence in God's promise. And God says an incredible thing to Joshua. As I promised to Moses, I'm going to promise to you too. As I said to Moses. As I was with Moses. I mean, for God to say, who talked face to face with Moses, to Joshua, I will be with you, just like I was with him. And this is one thing I pray, as we wrote our book and printed our book, our prayer with it, it might encourage some young person as they read it to see all God has done and say, wow, maybe God could do that for me too. And as we read missionary biographies, and see the past, how God has worked wonderfully for his people. It's got to give us courage to say, we can do that same thing for me too. I will be with you, God says to Joshua. I will not forsake you. And as we stepped out for Italy, two country bumpkins from upstate New York, we'd only been out of the country on our honeymoon to go across Ontario. We'd never been out of the country. In fact, I was at a missions conference in October, and as we're there, the pastor said, have you got your passports? We were leaving January 1st. Passports? I hadn't even thought about that. And so we ran to the post office and filled out everything. It came in time, praise the Lord. But we just had never had experience, never went on a mission trip, had never had those experiences. But you know, the Lord says, I will be with you. I will be with you. And when we stepped into a culture that we knew very little about, especially the Roman Catholic culture, we had no idea what it would mean to try to start a church in that place. But God was with us. And then as we answer God's call, we see here Joshua, he answered God's call with the blessings and power of God. God does not call talented people to serve him. He calls ordinary people, and then he gives them the talent that they need to do what he's called him to do. Be strong and of good courage, and you will be successful. We all want to be successful. What is success for a believer? Success for a believer is glorifying God with your life, being faithful to his call. We have had churches that dropped our support because they wanted bang for their bucks. One church wrote us, you know, how many conversions, how many baptisms? I wrote back, well, this year there have been no conversions, no baptisms, but 51 people clearly rejected the gospel. And they never dropped our support. They were happy with that. I mean, we were doing our job, but we... Sometimes you want to see things happen. Well, if you read the Old Testament, the story of the prophets, you're not going to find success stories. Isaiah was sawed in half. They loved him so much. And there are just stories of Jeremiah was thrown in a pit. But these men were faithful. They were faithful. Be strong and courageous. And then again, God repeats, be strong and very courageous. We live in a wicked world, and it's getting worse by the day. We're seeing things happen around us today we never would have dreamed 10 years ago. Never would have dreamed. But that doesn't change God's desire to send his people around the world with the gospel. So how can we be strong and very courageous? And right here in the text, first of all, we need to obey the law of God. You can't do God's work with Satan's methods. We need to obey God, obey his word. We need to meditate on his word. And I love that word meditation. I'm sure you've heard many times messages on Psalm 1 where it talks about meditation on the word of God. And the picture is that sheep or that cow that goes over and out in the sun, and he chews down all the grass he can handle it. And he goes back and lays down underneath the shade tree. And as he chews, his stomach sends up a nice mouthful of grass, which he chews and gets all the stuff. Then he sends it down, and another one comes up, and he's just meditating. He's just chewing on that grass. That's what we need to do. Meditate. Read, reread God's word. That's how we can grow. When I was in junior high, back in the days when public schools allowed an hour a week for religious instruction, and we would go out of the school building, over, I think it was a lodge, we went for a meeting for our class, and I had a teacher who repeated every day one phrase, no Bible, no breakfast. If you don't have time to read your Bible, you certainly do not have time to have breakfast. And that stuck with me. Our appointment in God's word needs to be primary, first thing in the day. It's helpful if you have a cup of coffee at the same time. Meditate the law of God, and then know completely and follow the law of God. And this word to know here, knowing experientially by your life. And you know, it's one thing to talk about God to somebody. It's something else to share what God has done in your life with somebody. So many times, our people in Italy, they're very religious, many of them. They've never opened a Bible because it's a very difficult book. In fact, where we live in Italy, central Italy, was part of the Papal States. And for 300 years, from the Council of Trent until Garibaldi, it was against the law to have a copy of the scriptures. So our people are afraid to open God's word. But when they understand that they can know God personally, and his word can become something's meaningful to them, it changes their life. Know completely and follow the Lord, the law of God, and finally, to enjoy the blessings. If we obey God, God can't help but bless us. It's just going to happen. He will bless us. Now, you can choose not to be blessed. That's your choice. But it's so much nicer to obey God and be blessed. And then the third time, he says, be strong and courageous. Be strong without fear. Don't be afraid. We've gone through a terrible time with this pandemic. But I have to say, I don't have a lot of patience with Christians who live in fear. Take precautions, be careful, wash your hands. But God is in control. Did you know that when you were born, the Lord already knew how many days you were going to have? He encourages us to count our days. Well, I got about 4,000 or 5,000 left. I don't know. Count them. But God knows how many there are. But we can face these difficulties without fear. God is in control. Without discouragement. Many times God's timing is not our time. And I say, if I knew I was going to live so long, I would have taken better care of myself. But God's timing is not ours. He chooses to take people as young people, and he chooses others to become elderly before he takes. But whatever he decides, we accept it. And then we want to be strong and courageous without any limits in our life. When I answered God's call for missions in 1960, I was 12. And a 12-year-old, what in the world? But I knew as a Christian, I had to do something with my life that would last forever. There was a plaque in our home. And I found out, this is a saying by the missionary, C.T. Studd, a very famous missionary of the 1800s. Only one life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And as God challenged my heart through the ministry of a missionary, I said, okay, Lord, not only am I willing to go, I'm going. If you want to stop me, fine. You want to redirect me, fine. I'm going. And we don't have to limit our lives waiting for some call. We need to get busy serving God and trust him as we move to direct our steps so we know more details about how to serve him. But in that evening, I remember so clearly when I went forward, I could have never imagined that someday I would be doing gospel TV programs in Italy, to have a radio station, to see a local church grow and thrive. And it's a thrill today. We go online and watch our services. What a blessing. Had no idea what God had planned. And you don't either. But I fear for Christians who miss out on seeing those kind of blessings because they're not willing to step out by faith and say, as we sang, here am I, Lord, send me. I trust each of you in the station of the season of life in which you're living will know what God's will is for you today. And you'll do it with all your heart. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the example of godly men and women in your word. Your faithfulness to them, it gives us courage. It encourages us to be faithful because we know that the end results do not depend on us. They depend on you. And so we acknowledge our total dependence on you in our lives to use us in any way that you would see fit. Bless the church, bless the pastor, and I pray that each one would be led of your spirit in ways that they can serve you in this local church for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
kind of whet all of our appetites for the joy of serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And he nailed it on the head when he said that it doesn't depend on us. It depends on the Lord Jesus. So we're going to close by singing Victory in Jesus. Stand to your feet and we'll sing this together.